conflicts, they appear to be everywhere. Conflicts destroy our family. They divide our congregations. They end relationships. Conflicts have almost blown up this nation's political system. Conflict is what keeps us at the brink of war constantly as a people. And yet, when I turn away from the world, I find that in the Word of God, that this book is filled with admonitions about peace, about love, and about unity. So because of the way the world is, conflict at every turn, and because of what the Scripture says, I must conclude that it has got to be the aim of every Christian to try to resolve whatever conflicts we encounter. We're going to do two things tonight. Number one, we're going to take a look at four or five verses, passages of Scripture. And we want to take a look at what they say. And then having looked at them, we are then going to briefly make three observations, all under this subject of resolving our conflicts. So there's five verses we want to look at. I want to ask you, let's use the Bible tonight. Let's turn to Romans, the 12th chapter, and verse 18. That'll be the first one. Romans 12 and verse 18. Paul says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Two words I want to highlight, and I want you to look at these words. The first one is the word you, Y-O-U. Look at that verse. As far as it depends on you. The word you there is emphatic. Listen. You. 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 Me. You. You. The word is emphatic. What does it mean? Here's what it means. It means that in this matter of peace, every Christian has a personal and an individual responsibility to do all they possibly can to keep peace. That's what that word means. That word, that emphatic you, puts all of us in the same suit of clothes. Second word I want you to note, and it may be a little different in your translation. Now, it says in the English Standard Version, notice what he says. He says as far, live peaceably with all. Yours may say, be at peace with all, or live at peace with all. Here's the point. The word there, live, or the word there, be, is present tense. What does that mean? That means it's a continual action. Now, let's put together what the verse really is teaching. What this verse is really teaching is that every single solitary individual Christian has a personal and individual responsibility to continually, to ongoingly, and to keep doing all they can as much as possible to live at peace. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know how that could be any clearer than that. Peace. Peace. Second passage. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Verse 22 and 23. And you've been here on Wednesday night. Brother Brian Sims is talking about the fruit of the Spirit and has done a wonderful job with it. Look at Galatians 5. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Let's highlight a couple of those. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. The fruit of the Spirit is gentleness or meekness. Listen to me. Those two verses there, those characteristics are the characteristics that belong to the people of God who are allowing their lives to be influenced by the Holy Spirit, which indwells them through that book. Did you hear what I said? When you obeyed the gospel, the Spirit of God indwells you. The Spirit of God bears influence in our lives through the Word of God that we take upon these characteristics. Now, let me say this clearly. And if this isn't true, if not, why not? If a person is a Christian, a person who is a Christian who's being influenced by the Spirit of God within them through the working of this book, if that person isn't taking on these characteristics, such as love, such as peace, such as meekness in their dealings with other, that person needs to change what they're calling their self. If not, why not? Because if you are a Christian, if the Spirit of God is within you and you're allowing that Spirit to influence you, these are characteristics you're going to have. Well, then what if I don't have them? Then you got to break down in the system somewhere. Amen? Passage number 3, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 13. It's in the context of eldership. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 13. And to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Now watch this. Be at peace among yourselves. Be at peace among yourselves. The context is that there may be decisions made you don't necessarily agree with. There may be decisions made that get you out of fix with the decision that's been made. So the writer says, listen, live at peace amongst yourselves. Now, let me tell you what this means. This means that in spite of our differences, in spite of our differences, if we are a people who have love and a people who are striving for peace, then we can generally come to an understanding with each other, even if we're in conflict with each other. Amen. Even in spite of our differences, if we are a people of peace, a people of love and unity, generally we can find an understanding between ourselves. And we must strive to do exactly that. Fourth passage, 1 Peter chapter 3.
1 Peter chapter 3, verse 11.
Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. He's talking about the person who'd like to see good days and live a long life. Seek peace, pursue peace. Now, to the Jewish people, peace was a huge deal. A huge deal. In fact, to the Jewish mind, peace meant much more than the absence of conflict. And in other words, in a congregation, you may have two brothers who hate each other. But as long as when they're in the building, they're not cussing each other out or throwing punches at each other, people say, well, they're at peace. No, they're not. If they hate each other, what's going on in their heart is the opposite of peace. To the Jew, shalom or peace was more than just an absence of we're not fighting or conflict. To the Jewish mind, peace, when you bid peace to somebody, it was your desire that good would envelop that person. Brethren, that's peace. That's peace. I want good to envelop other people's lives. Fifth passage, turn to Ephesians chapter 4.
Ephesians 4. Verse 3. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, if you go back up to verse 2, he tells you the attitude you have to do to accomplish that. But here's what I want you to see in verse 3. Only when Christians are at peace with each other can the unity that the Spirit gives be preserved. Did you hear what I said? Only when you and I are at peace can the unity that the Spirit gives us through this book be preserved. If we are not at peace, we can't preserve this unity of the Spirit. Now, what does all of this say? Brethren, what all of this says is that peace is vital. Peace is vital. And unity is vital. So let's ask you a question.
How do we heal our hurts? Let's ask another question. How do we resolve conflict? How do we resolve conflict? Let me briefly share with you three observations on resolving conflict. Listen, conflict is everywhere. It's everywhere. But it's not what God wants for his people, and it's not what God wants for the church. So how do we resolve conflict? Number one, examine self. Examine self. The Romans 12:18 verse again. As much as lie in you continually, you ongoingly, you nonstop, do all you can to be at peace with other people. Make sure you are never the reason for the conflict. Examine self. Examine self. Here is a conflict. Look, am I the reason for this thing? Is this because of me? In Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 19, there's a list there of seven things. That's not an exhaustive list, but it's a pretty good list of things that God hates. In that list are those who sow discord among the brethren. How do we resolve conflict? Examine self. There's a situation here. Am I the reason for this situation? Only together can we build a church. Only together. Examine self. Observation number two. See both sides of the issue. See both sides of the issue. Now, I'm going to tell you something I was told all my life, and now that I've gotten older, I found out it's not the truth at all. I was told all my life that there are two sides to every story. That's not true. That is a lie. There are not two sides to every story. There are three sides to every story. There is my side of the story. There is your side of the story. And then there is the truth about the story. Amen. Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying walk a mile in the other guy's shoes before you set him on fire. Before you roast him, try to see his or her side of it. Now, when you see their side, you may still not agree with it, but try to understand, and you have conversations with this, and I have conversations with this all the time, I'm trying to figure out, not where I stand, I'm trying to figure out, okay, how is this individual seeing it from that perspective? I want to see what he's seeing to maybe so that I can understand there's something here that I'm not seeing. But I can't do that if I'm not willing to look where the other guy's looking. Try to look at both sides. See both sides of this issue. Well, I stand. Well, look, you know where you stand. Now let's try to figure out where he's standing and why he's standing there. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. This is something else I want to change too, but I probably won't have any luck with it. Matthew 7 and verse 12. Are we there? Matthew 7, 12. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. What do we call that? The golden rule. We're going to stop calling it that. We call this the golden rule. You know what that is? That is an action rule. He says the word do twice. This is an action rule. This is a rule that you act on, you do something with. So now what is he saying? Here's what he's saying. Listen. The way I want others to do to me is the way that I should do to others. You understand what I'm saying? This is action thing here. This is action. He says, do. The way I want others to do me, I will do them. The way I want others to treat me, I will treat them. The way that I want others to love me, I will love them. The way that I want others to forgive me, then I will forgive them. Listen, try to see both sides of this thing. Try to see both sides of this thing. In Matthew 5 and verse 44, Jesus says, love your enemies. Remember when you were a kid trying to figure that out? Let's see, I'm supposed to love my mama, and I'm supposed to love my enemies. And then you get older and you get married, you think, okay, I'm supposed to love my wife, and I'm supposed to love my enemy. Listen, Matthew 5:44, love your enemies. The word love Jesus uses there is a word that was actually brought in through Christianity, agape. The word is talking about you want the highest good for this person. Even if this person doesn't like me, I want what the highest good can be for that person. I want them to experience the highest good they can. They don't like me. That, you know what? Okay, you don't like me. But I still want what's best for you to happen to you. You got to see both sides. Listen, because you're in conflict, you just can't start hating everybody you're in conflict with. Look, examine self. There is a quarrel. Am I the reason for the quarrel? Stop, well, he this and she that and they this and everybody else. And, you know, you're fine, but everybody else all messed up. So you have to tell yourself, listen, is this about me? Do I have any skin in this thing? And then secondly, try to see both sides of this issue. I see that you don't understand this the way I do, but I need to understand why is he seeing it this way. Then maybe I can help him, or maybe he can help me, or we can help each other. Amen? Number three. I really want you to take this one with you. Practice conflict prevention. Practice conflict prevention. Listen. You don't have to attend every argument you're invited to. it's okay to say, you know what? No, I'm just going to stay. I'm just going to sit this one out. I'm going to sit this one out. Turn to Romans, the 14th chapter.
Let's look at this. Romans 4, chapter 14. This is a chapter where Paul's dealing with matters of opinion. But I want you to see what he says here.
We have to practice conflict prevention. Things that will prevent conflicts from going on.
Romans 14, look at verse 2. One person believes, this is Paul, one person believes he can eat anything, while a weak person, Christian, eats only vegetables. Now, pause and let me explain this for a minute.
In the ancient world, there were many different religions, And most of the religions involved going somewhere and offering animal sacrifices. Now, here's what a lot of people don't understand. When you offered an animal sacrifice, only a small portion of the animal was actually sacrificed. So there was a lot of it that was left. And a lot of the animal that was left would end up in what they call the marketplace. We call it supermarket. It'd end up in the marketplace where it would be sold and people would buy the meat, they'd go home, fix it, and eat it. Now, there were some Christians who could walk into the marketplace and they could see that meat, and that meat is there, and that meat may have been sacrificed, a part of that meat may have been sacrificed to a heathen god, but they could walk in the marketplace, they could see it, they could buy it, divorce it from what had happened before, go home, fix it, and eat it, and it wasn't a problem. But there were other Christians whose conscience wouldn't let them do that. They would go to the marketplace, they would see the meat, and their conscience would say, you can't buy that because that may have been sacrificed to a heathen god. So if you buy that and if you take it home and prepare it, then you're actually eating what had been sacrificed to a heathen god at one time. So they believed in their heart that if they did that, they would violate their conscience. And that's what Paul is talking about here. Some people can eat whatever they want. It doesn't bother them. It doesn't violate their conscience. But Paul says there are others who can't do that. Are you listening to me? Now watch what he says in verse 3.
Let not one who eats despise the one who abstains. And let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats.
You know what he's saying? He's saying depending on whatever side of this thing you're on, listen, get along. Get along. If your conscience and you're strong enough to go in there and eat that and take it home and it doesn't bother you, Don't you look down your nose on somebody whose conscience it violates to do that. And those whose conscience were violated by it, it says, listen, don't you pass judgment on them because you feel the way you feel about it. Doesn't mean they feel the way. What is he saying? He's saying regardless of the differences, you got to get along here. You got to get along here. There are some preventative moves we can make that in spite of conflict to be all right. Now, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and let's tie this in. In 1 Corinthians 8, Paul is talking about the same thing. He's talking about food that had been sacrificed to idols. And now Paul is going to talk about where he stands with this thing.
1 Corinthians chapter 8, it's exactly the same thing, verse 13. Paul says, therefore, If food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat lest I make my brother stumble. You know what that is? There is a conflict prevention right there. In Paul's heart, there was absolutely nothing wrong with going to the marketplace, getting the meat, taking it home or wherever you're at, and fixing it and eating it. There was in his conscience, there was absolutely nothing wrong with that. But Paul says, if me doing that will cause somebody who's weaker, or if me doing that will violate somebody else's conscience, Paul said, I'm never going to do that. Hello? Are you still with me? You understand what's going on here? There's nothing wrong with it, but I'm not going to do it. Why? Because it may affect somebody else. What is that? That's a conflict prevention method. Now, listen to me. Does that verse mean Paul never ate meat again ever in his life? No, sir, and no, ma'am. But what Paul's mind said is, listen, when I am around those brethren and I know that's where they stand, Paul is saying, listen, I'm not going to take the meat and rub it in their face. And that's not the attitude we ought to have. Now, here's where it comes down to. Everything in the world is not about how good it's going to make me feel. Did you hear what I said? There are way, way, way too many important things in the world than for me to get bent out of shape about winning every argument I have with you. What do you do? Resolving conflict. Resolving conflict. Now, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. Everywhere I go, people are fussing. Is that you too? Or is that just me? Listen, I can't watch. And I'm saying this because it's true. I can't watch news anymore. They're like kids. They're like kids. All of them. And we wouldn't let kids act like that long. We'd sit them down. Everywhere, people are fussing at each other. Everywhere, people are in conflict with each other. Everywhere, people who used to be friends, well, I'm not friends with them no more. Well, why not? And sometimes they look right at you and say, well, we got into it. What'd you get into it about? Well, it was something. Yeah, it must have really been something. You can't even remember why you're not friends anymore. Look, and maybe I got it all wrong, but to me, life is too short. Friends are too few. And fellowship is too sweet to allow differences to rule my life. It just is. Try to see both sides. Listen. There is a difference between disagreeing with somebody and dividing with them. There's a difference between having words and having wars with people. Cliff Russell used to be a big Dallas Cowboy fan. Used to be. And then he saw the light. I'd never been a Dallas Cowboy fan. When my kids were growing up, all four of us in the house never liked the same team at the same time. And there were days when everybody would wear the shirt of their team.
there's four of us, we go out somewhere and all four of us are wearing different t-shirts with different teams on them. We still got along. They were wrong, but we still got along. You understand what I'm saying? It's too short. All this is too short to be twisted out of shape forever about something. I don't care what it is. We have to resolve differences. Amen? Amen. We're going to sing an invitation song. If you're here tonight, if you're subject to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we bid you to come right now as together we stand and as we sing.